Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we are so grateful. We are so honored. We are so privileged to be able to gather together as family, your children, and to learn of you, to become more like you, to hear from you, to be changed and transformed by your very living word, your presence here among us today. We acknowledge your presence right now. We acknowledge your transforming power and ability to each person's heart, mind, and soul. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is going to be a little bit of a transition message today. The last three times we got together, we looked at the word fight. And last week, we looked at the word warfare from 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I shared with you from 1 Timothy chapter 1 a definition of that word warfare and how God spoke to me about four qualities that need to be in a person's life before we even engage in warfare. And I'll cover that real briefly for those of you who weren't here. But the scripture that we've been starting with is from 1 Timothy chapter 6. And there are five things here that Paul instructed his son in the faith to do. And I'll pick it up at verse 11 and 12, and I'll just mention the five things, and then we'll go from there. So I'm just expecting the Lord just to show me the things that he wants me to say and speak to your hearts, the things you need to hear. Amen? Amen. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So here we have the five things that Paul told him to do. He said there were things that he needed to flee, things he needed to pursue, things that he needed to fight for, things that he needed to lay hold on, and things that he needed to speak. Okay? And so we're going to look once again briefly at these things, but we're going to focus on one in the future. And I was like, you know, Lord, there's five areas here that you're speaking of, and yet I really sense that you want me to focus on one of them, not one area. And as I was just talking to the Lord this morning and praying the Spirit as I was just looking over this passage, and a word came to me. And he said, it was almost like, this is why. This is why you're going to look at the third one, fighting the good fight of faith. And the word came to me, it's the linchpin. Linchpin. I thought, okay, I've worked on cars. I know what a linchpin is. We call it basically a cotter pin today. And I thought, then I got a picture of the old team of horses and stagecoach. And the only thing connecting the team of horses, I was like, Lord, I got to have something in the garage that will at least symbolize or show something like that. If you've ever seen it, was a linchpin. And sometimes you've seen the movie when, you know, the Indians are chasing them or they're getting robbed. You see this pin in the movie going up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, right? And you just know what's going to happen. What? It's going to come out. It's going to come out. And what's going to happen? The guy's going to go, whoa, and he's going to be drugged with a team of horses, and the stagecoach usually crashes, and it's a big mess. And the Lord was speaking to my heart that this subject we're going to look at is the linchpin to the two above and the two below it. To the two above, which refers to the things that he shows us by faith that we're to avoid, stay away from, and flee from, and the things that we're supposed to pursue, and the last two, which is what the things that we're to lay hold of and the things that we're to be speaking and professing and proclaiming, that we need to have the good fight of faith, and it's the linchpin that holds all five together, the two above and the two below. And I was like, okay, Lord God, I can work with that. I can do that. And it's pretty cool when God gives you examples like that, isn't it? Yeah. Most of you don't realize that you have automobiles, and on those four tires, let me see if I can find the one I have in here. Let me put the chain down here. Most of you don't realize, oh, did I lose it? Where, oh, where did the cotter pin go? Oh, where can it be? Oh, is it over here? Yes, cotter pin. Most of you do not realize that your four wheels are held on to your car, the axle of the car, are held on with a cotter pin. Look at this right here. The tire is placed on the axle, and there's a nut that goes on there and is twisted to a certain torque value. Now, sometimes there's a plate that is covering it, or a cotter pin that the lug nut or the nut that goes on there has these grooves in it, and once you get it torqued to a certain value, you stick this in it, and you bend the tips over to make sure that that nut doesn't back off and that tire come off. Isn't that amazing? That some of you don't even realize you're going down the road and this is what's keeping the tire, the rim, on the axle. Doesn't that just give you assurance? Something so small is so vital and powerful. Something you don't see is so vital and so powerful. Something you don't even really know about, but now you know it's there. Lord God, thank you for the cotter pin. That it does its job. Amen? And so there's something that God wants us to learn about, which is unseen. And it's the good fight of faith. So let's just back up and tie some of these together today before we leave and go to have a wonderful picnic today. Amen? So let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And just review quickly from verse 18 to verse 20. This charge, this command, I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them, the prophecies, the word of God that was revealed to him, it could have been the laying on of hands, it could have been someone that has spoke something that his life would accomplish, but it was something by God, by the Holy Spirit spoken in Timothy's life that he was supposed to grab hold of and not let go of. And there are things that God is wanting to teach you from his word, prophetically speaking, personal revelation to you that he wants you to grab hold of and never let go. Okay? That by them, the word of God, the truth of God's word revealed to you and to him, may wage the good warfare. Having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck, of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme or speak contrary or opposite to the revealed word of God that was given to them. Okay? For you've heard me say, for a person's faith to have gone shipwreck, when it's here talking about faith, it's talking about saving faith. It's talking about the faith that people have committed to in knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. And something got introduced to them, some sort of thinking, some sort of wrong teaching, some sort of wrong doctrine that got them off that truth. And now they stumbled over something now, and their life is just basically the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ has just crumbled within their lives. Okay? The enemy is always out to affect your faith, trust, belief, and confidence in God. He seeks to destroy it. Paul told his son in the faith, the word of God, the prophecies given to you, that which you have been taught, he wanted him to grab hold of. Don't you ever look away like these two people did. Don't you ever depart from that truth that you've received. And he talked about having faith. In other words, they were spoken to you. You may not have seen the result yet. You may not have seen it come to pass yet. But you know where it came from. It came from God to your life. And you're not to let go of it. You're not to let go of it. And he says that by them you'll wage a good warfare. And we looked at the third definition of the word warfare. And I'll just go over to it here quickly. And it was really neat. And I told you that even in a definition of the word, you can allow God to spiritually speak to you of a truth that he wants to show. And it says here, the third definition of the word warfare, I told you last week, was a military maneuver or plan to attack offensively or aggressively attack the enemy, to go after the enemy, to actively engage and move toward a land or a territory or something that they were supposed to go and occupy, okay? And it also meant to secure the object, to defeat the enemy, to release the captives, and proclaim the conquered victory. Now, having said that, when I was just looking at that definition last week, and it was like the Lord was saying, this is the way that what we need to do ahead of time. And you may have heard some people speaking recently or in the last year about your why. How big is your why? Why do you do the things that you do? What are you believing for, and why are you believing it? How big is your faith? How big is your trust in God? How big is the object that you're going in after? What is it that you are going in to secure? What is it in your life that God is speaking to you about that he's wanting you to go in and engage and secure for your life? So you have to know the object that you're going after, and you have to know why, and you have to know what God's word says concerning it. You have to know the truth in Jesus Christ as to why you can do this, and that you can go in, and number two, to already know that the enemy is defeated. It said here that part of the definition was to defeat the enemy. Well, we know the enemy has been defeated in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't make excuse for the enemy within or the enemy without. I know the enemy is a conquered foe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Though he may have territory within me, a stronghold in my mind or my thinking or something of my past that is still trying to engage itself within me, the Word of God says that Jesus Christ has secured our complete and total release. So you go in, number one, knowing what the Word of God has to say about it. Number two, knowing that the enemy is already defeated in that area. Number three, if there is a captive, whether you're captive or somebody else is captive, that it's just not for you, it's going to minister to somebody else. So it's just not about you, it's also going to be for someone else that's going to be liberated, setting a captive free. And the last part was proclaiming the conquest or proclaiming the victory. That before you even go in, you know that it's a conquered reality in the Lord Jesus Christ already. See, that's what faith does. It goes in, I've already got it. It's already mine. It's already been done for me in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you have to be able to know what the Word of God says concerning that given area, why it says it, and why it's yours. You have to know the why of it. It has to become real, as it says, with faith, by faith. And you've heard me say that you have to have, faith has to be developed in three areas. It has to be first faith in God. If your faith in God isn't big enough, if you don't know what God's word says about him, about the Lord Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ has done, if you don't have a faith in God, then you're not going to be able to develop a faith toward God. So there has to be first a faith in God, and that's why God left us with this wonderful manufacturer's handbook. God's my creator, and he left me this wonderful handbook how to make it all work, to give me revelation about himself. As you know, I used to be a former mechanic, and we were given all kinds of manuals about all kinds of cars, and I could go to any manual to learn anything about any car. The manufacturer's handbook. You go back to the blueprint. God's my manufacturer. He created me, and he's given me a manual how to make it all work. And he wants to take the black ink off these white pages, and he wants to speak them to you as a father to his child, to reveal the truth that's contained herein that he has for all of us. How many of the precious promises do we know but have not secured or walked in or experienced yet? He wants to take them and make them a living reality to you. So as you begin to discover these things, then you have a faith that begins to develop in God, who he is, what he has done, and then you start having a faith towards God, like, yeah, you know, I'm finding out about who you are. I'm finding out what you've done, Jesus. And you say this can be done. You say I can believe you in this area. You say that you have secured my release in this area. Or as Christine was talking about, the time of prayer and fasting, for our loved ones. For our loved ones. How many of us, if you're guilty, it's okay, have said, oh, they'll never come to know Jesus? You know, have any of us been, you know what, I mean, what's it going to take God to save them? Well, what did it take God to save you? Huh? You're here today. You know? And sometimes we forget of who we used to be. Well, we probably should forget who we used to be, but God was able to come in. And if he's able to save me, he can save any of you. Do you know that? And I look around. If he can save you, he can save anybody. Okay? I'm looking. You know? Well, Pastor, how dare you look at me? Yeah, get over it. So we need to develop the faith in God so we have a faith toward God. Yes, yes! So we can demonstrate the faith of God. Faith in God, faith toward God, demonstrate the faith of God. That's why we have to look at the subject. There's a lot of you that have a faith in God. You know what the Word of God says, but it isn't moved toward him. It isn't a personal reality to you. And then the next part is put it in demonstration, practice, whatever it is that he says. It may be, I want you to sing a song for the next 5 days. I want you to worship me with this song. That could be your act of faith. Something he's revealed to you. You just want me to sing? You just want me to sing? Yeah. Just want you to sing. Just want you to praise him. Could be just something as simple as that. It could be something as simple of him showing you certain portions of scripture, like I shared with you last week, that I taped to my refrigerator to believe God for a certain thing within my life. And every time I went to that refrigerator, I laid hands on him and I thanked him and praised him for it. I wrote down his word. I wrote down the need. I wrote down what needed to happen. And it came to pass. Went to that refrigerator. I didn't realize how many times we go to a refrigerator. Maybe that's why he wanted me to tape it there, you know, instead of the bathroom door, whatever. But it was amazing. It became a place of a faith toward God and then a place of demonstrating the faith of God. Amen? And so he's wanting to do this within our life. He's wanting to do this within your life. Any of you have ever come to a place where your faith sometimes gets shipwrecked? You just feel like it's run aground, you're stuck, you're not going anywhere? And I shared with you last week that even if your boat, your life has fallen apart, as a believer in Jesus, he knows how to put it all back together better. He knows where every board is cracked, he knows where everything is messed up, and he can put the boat of your life back together than however it was before. Better. Amen? Better. So even if some of you have been shipwrecked in a certain area, don't give up. Amen? Don't give up. Don't give in. There just may just be a little eeky, squeaky, little tiny voice on the inside of you that says, God is still present. Ha, yeah. Yeah, right. And I've had my mind at times say, yeah, right. But in my spirit, there was a voice that kept saying, God is here. God is present. God has not departed from you. Sometimes your feelings, your emotion, and your mind, if you'll be honest, hasn't always been in agreement with God. Okay? And at times we allow the feelings or the thought of our mind to say that's what we believe, and it's not what you believe. It's a present feeling, and feelings are all changeable by the truth of God's word, are all overcomable, transformable. Amen? To just realize that no matter the damage, no matter the thought, all of it is transformable by the truth of God's word. So you have to know a God thought, God's mind, God's truth to replace the negative or the wrong one, okay? And how many of you still need some of those negatives made into...
Oh, yes.
Okay, there's a sister right there. It's honest. Not to say that all of you aren't honest. Hallelujah. Sometimes we just don't like to let people know where we're at, right? Okay, nobody's, okay, Mark, just continue, Mark, continue. Don't start meddling here. No, I think I will. Flee these things. Let's go back to 1 Timothy 6. Well, I shared briefly a couple weeks ago with you the things that we're supposed to be fleeing. And he begins to enumerate the things that we're supposed to be fleeing in verses 3 to 10. 3 to 10. And he was instructing him that you have to be careful of these things. You have to be watchful of these things because there's always going to be people out to sabotage your faith. Amen? And so if there are things that we're supposed to flee or to run from or to stay away from or swiftly depart once discerned, swiftly depart once discerned. And that's the key there. The Word of God is a discerner in thoughts and intents of the heart. Isn't that what it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12? And when the Word of God is established within you, circumstance or situations or even well-meaning people can come up to you and try to relay something to you, and all of a sudden the discernment comes in. Oh, it's not right what they're saying here. Their motive is wrong. The heart's wrong. There's just something wrong about what they're saying. You know what? I've got no problem saying, you know what? I appreciate what you're saying. And no, I don't really appreciate it. I'm not listening to it anymore. God didn't make my ear a garbage can, and I'm not listening to it. Well, you know, we got to share sometimes the problem in order to get the victory. Yeah, but how many times are you going to keep sharing the problem week after week, month after month, year after year without securing the victory, the truth that's in Jesus Christ? Okay? So in sharing that, we've got to know what the truth is. Okay? We all have had our fiddles. The world's, as you know, the smallest fiddle. My heart bleeds for you. And we've all played the fiddle, haven't we? Well, God wants to give you a trumpet. God wants to give you the Word of God to trumpet the Word of God instead of, won't you bleed with my heart today, Pastor? I said, I'll sit there and hold it, but by the time we're getting done, you're going to have a trumpet, triumphant faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And sometimes I'll go ahead and share that with somebody. You just can't identify with what I'm saying. I'm not talking to you anymore. And I get up and walk away. But you know what? If the heart is truly right with the Lord, they'll eventually get that right too. So just because a person gets up and walks out and they don't want to hear what you have to say because you're looking at what Jesus Christ has done for them, don't be moved by it. Pray for them. You know, hey, don't let the door hit you. Don't be like that. Please don't be like that. They're, in their own frame of mind, in their own frame of thinking, the soul is in ascendancy at that moment, and they're allowing themselves to be soulish. Okay? They're allowing the soul to manifest. They're allowing that old portion of them to manifest. God is greater than the manifestation of your soul. Amen? Hallelujah. And He can bring the truth into you. Let that work what you have said, and don't write them off. Pastors Bill and Lenore didn't write me off. And I tell you what, I had a lot of garbage. My stuff piled high when I came in here. And I tell you, Pastor Bill had a message on the dung bag. And I tell you what, some of us glory in our dung bags. You know how big my dung bag, you know, all the garbage that we carry, all the junk. Well, you just don't know about my life today, Pastor. Let me have a whiff. Right? And at times we glory in our dung bags. And we have to be careful not to glory in our dung bags. We are to glory in the Lord. Right? Hallelujah. It's time to flush that stuff out. Praise the Lord. Okay. I'm not sacrilegious. It's just life, folks. That's life. And so he tells us the things that we're supposed to flee, the things that we're supposed to depart from, the things that we're supposed to stay away from. And he tells us to Timothy that he's supposed to be able to discern these things, and he's supposed to be able to know what they are and to stay away from them. And I'll just go down and write some. I'm not going to go and read this. I'm just going to share with you, as you read them yourself, how does that apply to our life? How does this apply? He told him, those who do not teach or consent to wholesome or sound and complete doctrine and teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have excuses that they make for their life and love those excuses more than the Word of God, he says you're supposed to depart from them. In other words, if they don't want to be taught and they don't want to listen to the full counsel of God's Word, you try to share it, you try to minister to it, and just leave them to themselves until they're ready. But you depart. Because if at times you don't, guess what's going to happen? It's going to try to come on you and be a load on you. God knows how to prepare the heart and get it ready. And at times you may go in with a little bit of word here, a little bit of seed there, a little bit of truth there. But then there's a time to let go. Let God work inside the heart. Okay? Let God do what He's supposed to do. And there are those who want to argue, debate, cause strife and divisions over matters of the Word that they themselves have refused to yield to, and why it's not coming to pass within their life. And when you come across that, you just have to, okay, you have to be able to back off. Some of you don't like to back off. Some of you don't like to let go. It's not because you don't love the person. You really want to see the person come to freedom in Jesus Christ, come to a place of deliverance. But you also have to be able to discern when you've given the Word of God and let the Word of God do its work by the Spirit of God. You are not the Holy Spirit. And at times we like to be junior Holy Spirits. Yep. We like to be junior providences. We like to have all the answers for them, and we try to force it almost sometimes on a person, and we have to just know that we speak the truth in love, and after we know we've done that, and the Lord says, no, let me work, and you have to be able to back off, okay? So you're supposed to remove yourself then and not continue to debate, argue, or cause divisions. How about those who refuse to yield and submit themselves to the Word of God, and then they show forth a pride and a contentious spirit? Got to leave them to themselves. Let God be God. You are not God. Let God be God. Amen? Or those who seek to excuse themselves or make excuses for themselves as to why God's Word is not working in their life. Leave them with God. You got to back up, okay? So Paul was telling his son in the faith, you can't save anybody. Let me do the saving. And after you've done your part with wholesome words, wholesome doctrine, and shared that, you need to let the Word do its work and back off. But if they're trying to give you the excuses and the reasons and the arguments why from a place of pride or being argumentative or causing division, you need to depart. You need to, actually the Word says flee. Stay away until God gets in there and works inside that heart. Amen? And then it says we're to what? Pursue. Pursue. This is a very strong word here. This word pursue here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, where it says pursue righteousness, pursue godliness, pursue faith, pursue love, pursue patience, pursue gentleness. It is translated more times than anything else, the word persecute. Why in the world would Paul be using the word persecute in this sense? Because when you think of the word persecute, when a person is being persecuted, let's look at it in a negative way, okay, the way that we know it. When a person's being persecuted, they are gone after in order to be seized. And when they're seized, they're usually made to recant or to deny. Let's say a person like the Apostle Paul did before he got saved, and he persecuted the church. He said he pursued them or persecuted them to foreign cities. He went in and knocked the doors of their house down. He dragged them away captive and caused them to blaspheme. That's in the negative way. So he would go after an individual, a Christian, and get a hold of them, bring them to a place. And as one part of his testimony, I believe it's in Acts chapter 28, Acts 26, where he gives his testimony. When you look up the word, he caused them to blaspheme, one of the definitions, he tortured them. He tortured them until they recanted or said they no longer believed in Jesus. The Apostle Paul. Yeah. Is that amazing? So, how do we look at it in the way that Paul is saying here to his son in the faith, Timothy, to persecute or to pursue, to go after in such a manner with everything that you have within you in order to obtain, get a hold of, and become? I mean, it talks about that you are not going to allow anything to stop you from obtaining the desires that he is saying here. So there's a very good way that this word persecute can be used in the Christian life. And I don't think at times we have enough pursuitness within us. A good persecution of righteousness. I am going after it. I'm going to get a hold of this truth. I'm going to understand what it has to say. And I'm not letting go till it changes my life. Amen? There is something of a tenacity that Paul is using this word that we need to have. We need to get our fight for these things and pursue them. Amen? See, we've been given the gift of righteousness. If I've been given the gift of righteousness, then why does the Word of God say I need to pursue righteousness? I've got the gift of righteousness. I've been made right in the sight of God. Paul is talking about, first of all here, a frame of thinking, a mindset that we're always supposed to have, a mindset that is right with God, a mindset that looks to God, a way of thinking and perceiving and viewing life from God's viewpoint, from a place that is always right with God, that is always in connection with God, a place that is always in union with Him, that is pleasing and acceptable and agreeable to God. And I'll just be honest with you, I don't always live life like that. How about you?
Yeah.
But if we see a word here that is actually the word persecute, or to go after, be relentless in its pursuit until you obtain the desired object. Oh, that brings us all the way back to that word warfare. To go after the desired object. So you have to know what you're pursuing. Well, he gives him things that he's supposed to pursue. Pursue righteousness. Pursue that quality of life that you find yourself living in agreement and in favor with God and of God. See, I've been given a right to go in God's presence anytime. But do I live in the favor of God? Do I live in a right standing? Do I view life? Do I view circumstances? Do I view you? Do you view me with the righteousness of God? Or do we say, man, Alan last week, hey, let me tell you about Alan. Or do we like to share the unrighteousness? Do we like to share the falls? Do we like to share the negativity? Or do we have the view that Father God has for one another and speak from that place and see from that place, a place of righteousness? We are faced with negativity all the time. You've got to come against so much of this stuff, the negativity within, the negativity that comes to you from the world. It's always like this world can be a real downer. You know that? Yeah? Can't it? I mean, if you let it, it'll be just such a weight upon you. And Paul says it doesn't have to be like that. Timothy, it doesn't have to be like that, but it's going to be a warfare. And these are some objects of warfare that you need to go after. You need to pursue in order to obtain and to become like. Pursue righteousness. Well, if you're pursuing the thought of God, the mind of God, the heart of God, a place of always seeing it from God's viewpoint, guess what the natural thing is going to happen next? Godliness. The next thing is godliness. There was a term that was used many years ago. It was called Christ-likeness. That you start becoming what you're pursuing. You start manifesting the character and nature of the one you're pursuant after. The nature of his, the quality of his, the character of his. You start manifesting more, and what you're pursuing, you start showing godliness. God-likeness, how God himself would do it, how God himself would say it, how God himself would react to it. So if Jesus was present in what you're facing, how would he respond? How would he speak? How would he consider the matter? Well, I don't have any blooming idea, Pastor. Well, I can go back to the Gospels. I can go back to the Word of God. I can actually go from Genesis all the way through Revelation, get the Word of God in my heart to find out the nature and character of God, how He would respond to a given circumstance or situation. And I can say, you know, Lord God, the way I've been handling this has just been totally wrong. And I saw how you handled this. And I saw how you handled this there. And I saw what you did here. Out of all those things that I saw how you do it, what is it about yourself that you want me to apply here? Godliness. Okay? So the natural result of pursuing righteousness and godliness is what? Your faith is going to what? Your trust, your confidence, your assurance, your belief is just going to start going through the ceiling. There is something that you're going to have that will become unshakable on the inside. Well, you're saying, well, wait a second. Why is Paul saying to pursue this now? And then he talks about fighting the good fight of faith later on. Because that's what the enemy is always after. He's after what you put your trust in, what you put your reliance on, where you're putting all your eggs, where you're putting all your marbles, where you're putting your confidence, where you're putting your trust and reliance. If he can get you to shake at all your confidence in God, then he's getting an upper level. He's getting an upper foot. He's getting an ascendancy within your life. And this whole world is dead set against confidence in God, faith toward God, trust and reliance upon Him. Do you know that? It's dead set against it. So that's why of all these five areas, to flee, to pursue, to fight, to lay hold of, and to confess, or a good confession, that the linchpin, the center one, is a good fight of faith. Good fight of faith, because that's where you're going to be hit. It's almost like when you read the book of Hebrews, what's almost the whole main message of the book of Hebrews? Their faith. Their faith, their trust, their confidence in God. And He deals with unbelief, He deals with departure, He deals with all these different things that are trying to be introduced into the Jewish community of believers in Jesus Christ to get them off their life with God, to get them to go back to animals instead of looking to the blood and life and victory in Jesus Christ. And so chapter after chapter, He talks about faith and unbelief, talks about where their eyes are supposed to be, where their confidence is supposed to be. Amen? And so you want to know about faith. You read not, you don't just read Hebrews chapter 11, 1 all the way, what, through what, 13? Is it 13 chapters there? You want to read through all chapters and get a full, rounded understanding of faith in God and what happens when that faith is assaulted and what happens to people when they depart. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Amen? So, yes, we do need to go through the hall of faith. And we do need to know what these people did and how they moved. The faith, the Word of God came to them and they moved. They responded to it. You're always going to realize, as it says in the book of James, faith without works is what?
Dead.
Okay, let's put it to you in an understanding. Faith without corresponding action is dead. When faith comes, you'll have a corresponding action. I don't mean a deed at times. Sometimes God will have you do something. But at times it may just be like I said, it could be just God wants you just to worship and praise Him. God wants you to pray these passages of Scripture. Well, how long, Lord God, until I tell you to stop? Whatever it is that God is speaking for you to do, it may get out of your comfort zone and go talk to this person that's down right now. Oh, what am I going to say to them? Trust me. Trust the Holy Spirit that you have life to give to that person. So it may be communicating to somebody. It may be God may have you worship and pray. He may just have you stand still. Do nothing. Sometimes doing nothing is the hardest thing that we have to do. Sometimes during a church service, it comes time for a holy hush. Some people's flesh do not like holy hushes. They don't like the quietness and the stillness of the church service. As soon as it goes quiet, somebody needs to speak. Somebody needs to do something. You ever have a person, you have a family member? You're wanting to get quiet before the Lord, and they just don't know how to sit still. They don't know how to get quiet before the Lord. Sometimes I got to work on this. I feel like I always got to be doing something. And to realize that being still and knowing that He is God is doing something. And some of us need to learn how to get quiet and be still and know who God is, especially some of you men. I guess there's some women that need to know how to be still. That you don't always have to be in motion physically, mentally. Sometimes you just got to just like, Lord, I'm just looking to You right now. I know You're present. I know You're here. God's here right now. God's among us right now. The Spirit of God is here right now, speaking and ministering and loving. Sometimes all we have to do is just, Lord, I just acknowledge You right now. What is it You want me to learn? Mark is up there talking. What is it of that he's saying that You're wanting me to grasp for my life today? And at times, that when you ask questions and you speak to God, I guarantee He'll start giving you answers. But if you come in here with a duh, you're going to leave with a duh. Oh, I did my time here today. I came in and occupied a seat here for 2 hours. I'm okay. But if you're not applying yourself by faith, I'm coming in to participate. I'm coming in to join with my brothers and sisters. I'm coming in to lift up my voice and worship and praise God. I'm coming in to look around at the body of Christ here and see this wonderful family of God that I've been blessed with and just to be so appreciative of those that are here today and to learn and to start getting out of your seat and loving on people. Some of you here, how many times don't feel loved? Huh? We don't feel loved at times. It's okay to lift up your hand. I'm lifting up my hand. You know, sometimes we just don't feel loved. And we come in and we sit. Nobody loved me today. Nobody even said hi to me. No. And I voiced that one time here in the church when I first started coming. I voiced it to Pastor Bill. Now, I don't feel loved here. Really? Mm-hmm. How many people have you loved today? Well, what do you mean? Get off your... and go in and start shaking people's hands and asking people about their lives and hugging people. You start loving and love will come back to you. So when you feel unloved, when you feel like you're just stuck in your seat, get unstuck and get moving around. Walk up to somebody. Hey, you know, good to see you today. You know, and you may even be saying that by faith. But you know what? The Word of God says concerning healing, doesn't it say, pray for others that you yourself may be healed? You start applying the others in Scripture, the one another's in Scriptures, I guarantee there'll be a rebound effect coming to your life. Well, I just don't feel like it. Ha, ha, ha. Faith doesn't go by feelings. And you're going to have to sometimes put those feelings down, put that thinking down, as what, you know, like I like to call it, stinking thinking. It seems like I hear it everywhere now. And you've got to put that down and apply your faith to love even when you don't feel like loving. To reach out when you don't feel like reaching out. To get unstuck from your seat. Sometimes, you know what, sometimes we feel like we've got like seatbelts on in here, don't we? You know, like, right? Cement boots on. I will sing and dance before the Lord, and we can just go like that. And the feet don't come off the ground. You know, sometimes I think we're afraid to let go and worship God. I mean, we sing a song, I set my feet a dancing, and every now and then I might see a leg go like that. You know? Oh, what's the shaking of your leg for? Yeah, cool. I mean, when the Ark of the Covenant came in, when they finally brought the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem, did he just shake a leg? Man, he worshiped, he praised, he twirled all the way down to his inner garment. I'm not saying you do that, but you know, we could get a whole lot more looser than we are right now. When I was unsaved and went to concerts, I was pretty free, everybody. I might have had some stuff in my system, but I was pretty free. Okay? I've got Jesus in my system. I've got redemption. I've got the blood of Jesus. I've got the life of God. I've got the Holy Ghost. We should be able to do some dancing and some twirling and getting excited about the things of God instead of praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we think we're doing something. Now some of you are like, well, that's just not my character to do that. Well, it's God's character. Okay, and it's time for us to start being some spiritual characters. Okay? Spiritually alive characters in Jesus. Hallelujah. Man, I just moved like that. I think I pulled something. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness gracious. God. Oh, maybe I need prayer. Honey, don't say anything, please, please. I see you're back there. What's that? Oh, you want to share? Oh, you want to share? Okay, let me qualify that. Next week? Come here, honey. Oh, I just love that woman. Christine, I want to share. I would like to share. I You know, we're real. This is life. This is spiritual life in Jesus Christ. We aren't fakes, like we're here, you know, like smiling all right now, and we get across the street to our house. I mean, come on, everyone. Hey, we don't. I mean, we have our ups and downs. More ups than downs.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Ooh. There.
More ups than
downs. Whoa.
Okay.
More ups than downs. That's a good prelude to what I'm about to say. I wanted to share about my down with one time. Oh, God, you're so good. Anyway, all right. You talked about the book of Hebrews. Amen. You know, this month is Pastor's Appreciation Month. I appreciate those two pillars right there. They may be moving a little slower, but in the spiritual realm, they're full steam ahead. And there's something I just want to share from my heart and with all this message that Pastor Mark's been giving. And Pastor Bill, you've been on my heart so much this week. The love I have for you, because a man of God, when you spoke to me back in the 80s, I've been working at this church for over 35 years, but back then, in the 80s, I was in the office, working right there, and he was a man of God to be able to tell me, Christine. He sent the word through other people, but that was okay because it was coming from Pastor Bill. He would come into the office, and we had plexiglass covering the office, and he would come in the door and just walk right by me. Now, I don't know about you, but that gives me a message. And it's a message of not who does he think he is. No, God, what are you trying to tell me about me? See,
he passed by not speaking to her.
Right. We can tend sometimes if someone passes us by and think, but that was a man of God with integrity. And I say this, even though it was a testimony of the 80s, because I believe our testimonies are resounding. They keep going and going. And he called a special meeting, and I was surrounded by a room full of pastors. And they let me know about my root of bitterness. And
who did you think the meeting was for, though?
I said, get him, because he deserves it. What I've had to go and live through and la, 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 la. But that man of God had the word from the Lord, not being present in that meeting. And I'm going to read Hebrews 12, starting at verse 12. It says, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. You got a little dislocated something in your body going on now? He wants to bring healing. He wants to bring deliverance. We sit here faithfully. Thank God you came out this morning. But what is he speaking to your heart this morning through the word that we've been hearing? In verse 14, it says, pursue peace. Are we hearing a message of pursue with all people and holiness? You cannot pursue peace without holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Without holiness, folks, we will not see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by this many become defiled. That's where I was, working in the church office. I had a root of bitterness because of him. And you may think, whoa, putting the blame on him. No, it's because in the course of our, in the beginning of our Christianity and our walk, the marriage was rough territory. But God brought us to the Christian Service Center. I can speak for this church because the glory always goes to God. But he brought us. We were a mess. We stand here by the grace of God, married together. But you know what? Pastor Bill let those know that my root of bitterness was defiling people in the church. And he wasn't going to put up with it. That's the kind of man of God. He did not put up spiritually. Why? You think, well, who do you think you are? No, he was caring for my soul. And he knew it was time, Christine. But he gave an ultimatum. You come to godly repentance for that root. You deal with that root. You deal with those you've defiled. Or you're out of the church. I had only been in the church a few years. I mean, I had only been a Christian a few years, but God knew that I could handle it, spiritually speaking. We're in that meeting, and the word of truth's coming, and I had things to say to everybody. I'm not repeating them. It wasn't what I needed at the moment, and it was coming out. But the root was coming out. And Thursday night, a woman of God, Michelle Trent, brought a plant that, a weed with a root. And here was the root and all. And it had such meaning to me because he didn't just pull the part that shows. He went in, I always called it for the kill. That may not be as scriptural as you think, but you know. And it hurt. I said, Lord God, I hit the floor. I said, if I could have made a hole through the cement, I would have gone all the way in. I said, Lord, this hurts too much. I can't let it go. It hurts to let go. He said, trust me, Christine. Give it. Just release it. And the deliverance was flowing and flowing. I, at that point, had a relationship where I did not like my husband. Okay? That's where we were. Working in the church, la-di-da-da-da. The minute I was delivered and set free, I looked up to him and he glowed. That's how, when I met him at a concert one time, that man glowed up there. I was like, I got to go meet that guy. He's glowing. And it was a God thing, I'm telling you. And that glow, God restored after my deliverance. After I was willing to say, Christine, you have sinned against me. God Almighty. And so many of us here, you got to hear when this word is coming forth, it's for your spiritual well-being. I thank God, Pastor Bill, amen, that you had the courage and the stand and the tenacity in the spiritual realm to tell me what I had to deal with. I could have made a decision and walked right out that door. And you were home waiting for the phone call. Did she receive it? Yes. And I met you. You came to work the next day. And I ran after you and pulled you aside. And we were alone in that sanctuary holding hands and looking into each other's eyes. Because I thought I was going to lose what God had given me. Because that's when I got baptized with the love of God. He held my hands. And he prayed for a baptism of God's love to indwell me. And it is so alive. That's why I believe love never fails. Because Pastor Bill, the man of God, stood. And you told me what I needed to hear. But I had a choice to repent and to make it right. Amen. Thank you. And we stand by the grace of God here. He's speaking to all of us. The fight of good faith. It's a good fight of faith. This is a battle. This is warfare. Woo, look at this. He wants the chains loosed in the name of Jesus. Broken by the power of God and his word. Have we always done it right? No, but he corrects us. Trust me. And I just thank God for the word of God that we receive here and that we have received for years. We are the fruit for the glory of God. And I thank you for Pastor's Appreciation Month And every day, Lord, that you called us here to serve, for we are servants, servants of the true living God. And we thank you, God, for men and women of God, every one of you in this church that are standing for truth. It is a fight. But if you are harboring unforgiveness towards anybody, you need to deal with it. If you have bitterness or resentments or hurts, please, he's calling out. Repentance, then healing comes. But never forget, repentance is first. So we worship you, Lord. It's all about you, God, that we stand here by the grace of the living God. And I thank you for our precious pastors, Bill and Honora Owens, who have stood tests and trials and attacks. But they stand, and they stand here. They may be sitting, but they're standing in the spirit realm. And we thank you, Lord God, that we are a body here at the Christian Server. We stand united in one spirit, in one mind, one accord, believing the word of truth. And we thank you, Jesus, for it. In Jesus' name. All God's children said.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise. Honey, stay here. Stay here. Stay here. Hallelujah. Now, if anybody's been spoken to in their hearts, do not let this just be a heard word, but an experienced word. If this has touched any tone or chord with inside your heart, then please just if there's something you need to repent for, yeah, but you don't understand, and that's the pointing of the finger. No, it needs to be lift up hands of repentance and surrender to him. Amen? And so I would just like, you know, Guy, for you just to play song number 4 and let us stand and let us confess with our mouth that he is Lord. And if you need to come forward, then please do so at that time. If you have sensed that you've been wronged and you have an excuse for that wrong, and I'm not saying that they didn't do you wrong, but Jesus was done wrong and said, Father, forgive them. And it comes from that place of repentance and forgiveness that you yourself are released also. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
Maybe just a time for you to...
Turn it up a little bit, Guy.